Buck James joins us, head coach of the state champion Camden Fairview Cardinals. Buck, has it sunk in yet?
Well, I thought I had a dream last night. We had to play again, but other than that, I think I'm doing great. It's a really great feeling.
Congratulations, Buck. Coach, by the way.
Thank you. It's to be able to do it, especially on your third try, I think probably makes it a little bit more special. But I'm very proud of our kids.
And Buck, one thing that I hope that the people that happen to listen could sense the emotion that Bob and I felt late there in the game, and especially when the trophy presentation was taking place. The fact that Kyrie Neal, who as a sophomore was paralyzed from the neck down, was able to join his teammates on the field, the staff on the field, and actually was at the front of the picture when you guys were taking that state championship picture with the trophy.
Well, it was special. We had one of our players, Jerry Moorhead, broke his ankle in the game and had to have surgery on Saturday morning. And when I was visiting with him in the hospital, you know, he was really sick about, you know, he wasn't able to go through the trophy presentation and all the things that went on during the game and stuff. And I said, Jerry, this is what I've been talking about all along. I said, how do you think Kyrie felt?
Yeah.
And, you know, emotionally, you know, his tears rolled down his cheeks because he and Kyrie are great friends. And, you know, this is what I've been talking about all along, that, you know, we're talking about a young man who could be on the cover of recruiting magazines, being a guy that be recruited by every college in the country, and to have all that taken away from him is very, very hurting to a coach and to his family. And, as a coach, you know, sometimes you deal with the athletes and the problems that come along with coaching and stuff, and you forget about the human side of it. And, you know, this has been my motto, I guess, since day one, since Kyrie's had this injury, was that we would never allow his name or what he stood for as a player and what his potential was as a player to be something that would go unrecognized or would just fade out into the sunset, that we would he would be part of our rally cry. He would be our why for the rest of his career.
Coach, for the people that don't know Kyrie's story, can you go back to that fall camp 2 years ago when he was a sophomore and relive his story?
Well, Kyrie is—he was a ninth grader. I'll start back his ninth grade year. Kyrie is a kid that we brought up on our high school team. We always invite our ninth graders up, and Kyrie's one that we didn't invite. We told him he was coming up, and Kyrie started for us in the playoffs and started for us in the state championship game when he was a ninth grader. And you know, Kyrie was 6'4", 6'5", 275-pound kid that ran a 4.8 40. Wore size 19 shoe, and of course we were thinking, wow, this guy's fixing to be some kind of player, because we knew we had good players coming as well. And we're in the middle of two a days of sophomore year, and he comes to us and says his back is hurting him. We send him to the doctor. The doctor thinks that maybe he's been a little dehydrated, maybe it might be a kidney infection, so basically just hydrate him, you know, get him back. And he comes to practice the next day, and he says, Coach, he says, it hurts so bad. He said, I can't hardly stand it. And so we held him out of practice, and, you know, we go through the day, and we put him in ice baths, and we're giving him fluids and stuff. And then the next day we have our pitchers, and we have to go get him. He's in such pain. And we finally, Grandma, there was more than just a dehydration. So we carry him back to the hospital, or Grandma carries him back to the hospital in the middle of the night. And they med flight him to Children's Hospital. When he gets to Children's Hospital, they again reaffirm that it's probably a kidney infection, maybe a strained muscle in his back, or a little dehydrated. So they give him fluids and everything. And as the coaches were leaving on the elevator and thinking everything is going to be all right, Kyrie goes into seizures. And what had happened is that the staff had encapsulated in Kyrie's spinal cord. And it was the lesions were inside his spinal cord and moved up into his brainstem. And as he had those seizures, it paralyzed him from the neck down. And not until we didn't know that the staph had even existed, because it wasn't in the bloodstream as it would be with a normal person. And when they were giving him the medicines that they gave him for the dehydration and maybe the kidney infection, what basically happened is that it ran the staph up. Most of the time it goes down into people's legs and will circulate around and get in the bloodstream. And all it did was encapsulate itself and go up into the brainstem. And then, of course, Kyrie's been paralyzed ever since. And he's been on a ventilator. He has no use, use of his arms and legs. And, you know, it's a tragic story is what it is. You're talking about a guy now 6'5", 6'6". He weighs 290 pounds. He wears a size 20 shoe. And he has no use of his arms, legs, or anything to help propel him as a person or athlete. But his brain, his thinking, his thought process, his speech and all that is the same as it would be if he was a normal 18-year-old kid. So this guy's trapped in this body and has the same thinking process as any 18-year-old kid has.
As far as his situation, has it been able to raise awareness for staff? And was Kyrie able to talk with the team before the team and afterwards? And if so, what all did he say?
Well, it has a right aware of staff. And the staff that Kyrie had is the same staff that you and I have. We all have this staff in our nose. It's the MRSA staff. And basically, it's in everybody's nose. And Kyrie, what the doctors think is that this absorbed through a bruise. You know, so he could have been playing basketball or anything. It didn't matter whether he was being a football player or not. It was just, you know, right place, right time. And it just got into his body, and his body didn't fight it off. And basically what happens is that, you know, he's attacked by this. But Kyrie has talked to the team. He was at every game this year, or every one of our home games. He was our homecoming captain. He has, you know, he's in the school. He's coming to school every day. The community, now, when you talk about communities, Camden probably has one of the best communities that there is out there. We have raised money for, and the cheerleaders, football, Palm Squad, the whole community has raised money, and we were able to help purchase a house for his family. His grandmother had to quit work. She is raising Kyrie. Kyrie's mother died the year before, almost a year to the date that he was stricken with this disease. And his grandmother is raising him, and she had to quit her job, and because Kyrie has to have full-time care. He has to have somebody that's taking care of him all the time. In the Medicaid, Medicare, and the whatever the different agencies that help people in this situation will only allow Kyrie to have medical attention 16 hours of the day. So, you know, the other 8 hours a day, his grandmother's had to do this. So it's, you know, it's a very, very taxing obligation that she has, because this is what I didn't want to happen, is that Kyrie, like Zach Towers or Keanu Talbert or anybody else who has been a high school football player, you know, when high school football and high school athletics over with, you know, we forget about those people. And I told our kids this would be a great way that we could get his name out there, that we could, you know, educate people about what's going on, because the catastrophic insurance doesn't kick in that the AAA has, because they can't prove that it was a football injury. And so the funds that Kyrie needs to live and to have a quality of life aren't necessarily there, because he's only dependent on what his grandmother can get from disability from her deceased husband. So the community has had to pick up, and that's on a community like what we have here, that's a very taxing endeavor, you know, for such a long period of time. And I told our kids that we could get Kyrie's name out there, we could get Kyrie's story out there, and that this would be something that maybe would propel Kyrie into a better situation, that would help him become a person that maybe could spearhead some things that would help high school athletes that get injured in sports, and that will give him a chance, an opportunity to be a person that maybe this could change some of this thought process that we can only help these guys while they're in high school and then help them into life, because Kyrie's 18 years old. Kyrie could live to be a very old man. And with this, Kyrie's going to have help. And it's the football fraternity, the coaching fraternity, just humanity in itself. You know, we've got to step up and help this person to become a person that can help others and to be able to help himself later on down in life.
Buck, if there are people listening that want to help with donations, is there a fund set up? What can they do?
Well, there is a fund set up. It's through First Bank in Camden, Arkansas. It's P.O. Box 10, Camden, First Bank of Camden, Arkansas, P.O. Box 10, Camden, Arkansas, 71701. Also, you can find the information on our football website. It's www.CamdenFairviewFootball.com. Camden Fairview Football, all being one word. And, you know, we had an anonymous person this year that donated $1,000. He called, and not even a person that lives in Camden, but he donated $1,000 to our football program and to Kyrie, basically to Kyrie through our football program for every shutout that we had. And, of course, it really inspired our football team. He said he wanted to find a way to really help Kyrie, help get Kyrie's name out there, but also to be able to help him as well. And so for every shutout that we had, he donated $1,000 to the Kyrie Neal Fund. So we were able to get four shutouts. You know, what's heartbreaking is that we were ahead in one ball game, really, really, really big. And, of course, our kids really played hard for this. I mean, they just, you know, it was a lot of pressure for them. And we have our third unit out there, and they have their first team out there, and they called timeout three times to score with 20 seconds to go. And you would have thought that, you know, every one of them got punched in the gut